Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christ Community Church. If you would like more information about this podcast or Christ Community Church, please visit our webpage at www.gochristcommunity.com. Blessings and enjoy the sermon.
So I was studying this week and I really was amazed at looking at the word Thanksgiving in Scripture. There's a time to give thanks, and we think, oh, it's Thanksgiving, right? But this should be something that is continually happening throughout our life and our calendar year. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, it doesn't say give thanks for all the circumstances, okay? Our flesh, the enemy, this fallen world, there's a lot of things that come our way that God in His grace has the ability to turn for good, but they don't come from God. So to thank Him for all the circumstances might not be the right focus. But in all circumstances, we can thank God. Amen? But how do we obey something that says give thanks in all circumstances, especially if our circumstances are horrible? Has anybody ever had the seasons in life where it seems like you go from one discouragement or disappointment or disease or disaster or death to another? You know, you've been there, right? You've done that. And so how in those times do we give thanks? It's one thing to give thanks on Thanksgiving weekend when we have family together and plenty of food and all that, but how do you do it no matter what you face? And I tell you the way you do it, and His name is Jesus, amen? You do it through Christ, and you do it by looking at Christ's example of how He lived, amen? He shows us the way because He is the way. Now, when you look at this next part, when you understand that the traditional churches call communion the Eucharist, right? And the Eucharist actually comes from a Greek word. Have we got it up here? Let's go on ahead here. He took bread on, we'll go back up one. When Jesus was at the Last Supper, which is where we get the practice of breaking bread together, right? Take and eat, this is my body, right? Broken for you. He gave thanks, He broke it and gave it to them saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. There's such a key in this verse about giving thanks in all circumstances. Let's go to the next slide here. He took bread and when he'd given thanks, that word for given thanks, it's a verb. And it's I put it there in the Greek because since I took Greek, it's harder for me to read Greek that's transliterated into English than it is just for me to read the Greek and get it right. So this is eucharisteo. And he broke bread and et cetera, et cetera. So let's go to the next slide. I want you to see some of this. So the giving thanks or thanksgiving is the Greek word eucharisteo. The X is like a char sound, okay? The root word of eucharisteo is charis. You see that right in the middle? The X-A-R, it looks like a P, but it's R-I-S, the charis in the middle. So right in the middle of eucharisteo, which is the Eucharist, communion, remembering me, right in the heart of it is the word for grace. And let's look further. The word also holds its derivative, the Greek word for joy, which is chara, which is a form of charis. It's a chara, meaning joy. So what I thought was fascinating, and I maybe have seen this before and just forgot, but in the word communion, the Eucharist, he says remember things. And Jesus is about to pour out his life. And yet in the midst of pouring out his life, he's able to have joy. So think about if Jesus were to say what he's about to go through. Let's look at it here according to the scriptures. It says, I'm about to be momentarily damned by your wrath, talking to God, so that you will receive supreme glory in being able to forgive undeserving sinners, which is you and I, praise the Lord. And I will share full joy eternally with hundreds of millions of foreign forgiven sinners made righteous through my sacrifice. So that's not exactly what Jesus was given thanks for, right? Given thanks in all circumstances. When he broke that bread, even though he was going to go through that horrific situation, he was able to give thanks when he broke that bread that represented his body because he was thankful to the Father for the grace and the glory that was coming because of the cross. And this gave him joy, or chara. Jesus, eucharisteo, was fueled, his thanksgiving was fueled by his belief in grace. That's what the author of Hebrews meant when he wrote, Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus' eyes were fixed on the joy that was set before him. When he broke that bread, he gave thanks, Eucharisteo. He broke that bread and he realized by breaking that bread, grace would come to all people. People that couldn't live up to God's standards, people that couldn't know the Father. When he broke that bread representing his body being broken, he knew that that grace would come to you and I, that we could be restored and in right relationship with God once again. Amen? And that brought him joy. And that can bring us joy in the midst of crazy circumstances. Even Jesus about to face the cross, it gave him joy. So what I want to do this morning is just show you a few things directly from the Scripture that are made available to you now because of grace. You know, a lot of times people say, well, you can be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Well, usually those people that are more heavenly minded are actually really a lot of earthly good because they actually realize what it's really all about. They realize it's about God's grace, God's glory, God saving sinners, amen? And so they're more in tune to think about that and realize, wow, look at all I have in Christ. I want to make sure other people know Christ too, amen? So let's just look at some things that maybe we've forgotten. In the same way that Christ said, do this in remembrance of me, I want to remind you of some things that you have in Christ Jesus. You have the free gift of complete forgiveness for all your sins. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin are death, but the free gift of God that we have now is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So no matter what you're facing, that truth is still true, amen? You'll never have to merit your justification by keeping the law. Galatians says, yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. Folks, that's huge. Amen. That God's grace has made way for us. You will have all your needs provided for on this earth. Not always your wants, but Philippians clearly says, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. The 2 Corinthians 9 says, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Amen. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. God will complete the good work he began in you. Philippians 1:6 says, I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So again, focusing back on Christ, that before he returns, the Father will continue to work in your life to make you everything God wants you to be. You will be raised from the dead and never, ever die again. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to life forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Anybody that's ever suffered with any kind of pain or sickness or anything, your body says, amen. Amen. A new body is a great idea, Lord. That means someday you will see Jesus if you're going to be with him and get a new body. And you'll be like him, as 1 John tells us. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we'll be like when Christ appears. But we do not know that we do not know what we will be like. We will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. We're actually going to see him as he is, and it will transform us. And then you will be completely free from all death and decay. The creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. So that's just a small sampling. The joy set before you and me is the same joy Jesus had set before him because you are an heir of the kingdom with him. Romans 8:17, and since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share in his suffering. So right now, you may have trouble. You know, that's okay. Jesus said you would in John 16. He says, I've told you. Also, you may have peace with me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. And the Jesus that tells us this is not a Jesus that can't relate. He's not so perfect that he can't relate to who we are. He actually can identify with our weaknesses. As it says in Hebrews, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. And by his grace, we can walk free from sin too. Amen? Day by day. So look to the joy set before you. Look to the joy of all that God has done for you. The future joy Jesus promises is real. And if you believe him and have made him your Lord and Savior, then nothing can ever steal your thanksgiving. Amen? So what I want to do, having looked at that word, a little shorter message today, amen, but what I want to do, having looked at that word that has grace right in the middle of it, and that grace bringing joy, I want to look at six things that I found in the scripture that clearly help us maximize our joy or leverage our joy. Or six things that if you're thinking, I hear what you're saying, but this trial is really just too hard, and I'm having trouble focusing on heaven. You know, right now I'm thinking, who cares? You know, I'm just trying to get through today, okay? I want to give you six things that if you're struggling with joy, that these things the scripture says brings joy, all right? So number one, the first two actually come from John 15. In John 15, Jesus says some things. He says, I've told you these things so that you'll be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. That's verse 11. So let's back up and see a couple of things that he told us. He said, those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. So the first thing that we can do to maximize our joy is realize that bearing fruit brings joy. Bearing fruit in the kingdom of God brings joy. And you can bear fruit because God has gifted you and given you everything you need to be able to do that. Amen? So it talks about remaining in him to do that. How do we remain in Christ? How do we remain in Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus Christ made it very clear that he says, I'm the head of the body. Amen? He's the head, we're the body. The way you remain in Jesus Christ is to find your place in the body of Christ and to be your part of the body. You can't do it independently of the body out flopping around like a fish out of water, a hand flopping around on the ground like some creepy movie. You know what I mean? You can't be the body that way, okay? The only way you can really be the body is to be the body, in the body. Now, are we the body of Christ just on Sunday morning? No. This is a place we come together for worship. But you're the body of Christ everywhere you go, at work, rest, play, etc. But abiding in him, a big part of that is abiding in the body. And we'll look at that some more in a little bit. The second thing he mentions, he said, again, I've told you these things so your joy will be full and your joy will overflow. So what's another thing Jesus mentions? Back up to verse 9, he says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. So the second thing that brings joy is obedience. Obedience in love brings joy. Now, why did I say in love? Well, I think it's no coincidence that Jesus is talking about abiding in him and abiding in the vine, and all that's mixed up with how he abided with the Father and how he showed his love for the Father by being obedient. We show our love for Christ and the Father by being obedient. He shared it that way because he was talking to folks that have been trying to be obedient their whole life by keeping the law. And he says, look, the only law you need to keep now to be obedient is what? Worship the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He says, you do that, you're fine. St. Augustine wrote once, he said, love God, comma, and do whatever you want. And we in America hear that and think, love God and do whatever you want. Huh, well, okay. What does that mean, right? Well, we're a little more independent over in the Western than they were Eastern, you know what I'm saying? But basically, if you read further, he goes on to explain that when you love God and abide in him and love him with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, it says God will give you the desires of your heart. And when you love and hang out with him, all those desires he puts in there, do them all. Do whatever you want. Meaning, that's true freedom. If you really love God and understand who you are as his creation, you won't want to go out and take advantage of some girl on a date. You won't want to try to steal someone else's wife or husband. You won't want to harm your body with illegal drugs and substances that break down the temple of the Holy Spirit. See, you won't want to do any of those things because the love of God in your heart. Amen? So obedience and love brings joy. Number three, prayer brings joy. John 16 says, so you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Then you will rejoice, and no one can rob you of that joy. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly, and he will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive. and you will have abundant joy. So this new life that's open between us and the Father because of Jesus through prayer brings joy. Amen? Number four, the presence and fellowship of believers brings joy. Listen to this, a couple of different places. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. Verse 6. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So what they're writing about here in 1 John is the fact that we love one another, and we come together with other believers for fellowship and just to be around other believers. It brings a sense of joy. If you guys ever had a good friend in Christ that maybe lives far away and you haven't talked in a long time, but they come through town or you call them on the phone and immediately there's this rapport like you never missed a beat because there's joy in the presence of those that love God the way we love God, amen, that are born again. Number five comes from Luke 15. Says, in the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents, hallelujah, and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. So obviously, if you've ever had the joy of leading to someone to Christ, you understand that not only heaven rejoices, but it's a beautiful thing, amen, when someone comes to Christ. So converts bring joy. And then the last one, serving and making disciples brings joy. There's several passages where Paul and John talk about this. First one's in Philippians 4. He says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I've received for my work. In 1 Thessalonians, after all, what gives us hope and joy, and what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before you, before our Lord when he returns? It is you, yes, you are our pride and joy. And then John, he writes, this letter is from John the elder in 3 John. Some of the traveling teachers recently returned and made me very happy by telling me about your faithfulness and that you are living according to the truth. Folks, I told you a few weeks ago, there's no better joy for a pastor than to hear how you guys are living in the truth, to hear how the home group started a challenge and we were able to bless 140 kids with those boxes in the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know? That's just beautiful. He said, I could have no greater joy than to hear that my children are following the truth, meaning spiritual children. That doesn't actually refer to your kids, although that's probably true too, amen? But it's referring to those they'd poured into, that John had poured into. So we see these six things, bearing fruit, obedience in love, prayer, the presence and fellowship of believers, converts, people coming to Christ, and then serving and making disciples from those converts. All these things bring joy in our life. So you got to ask yourself a question. When you look at those six, how involved are you with those six things? If those six things clearly bring us joy from the Scripture, you have to ask yourself, if you're a little low on the joy tank and whatnot, you've got to ask yourself, why do these things bring such joy? The reason these things bring such joy is these are the things that the kingdom of God is about. These are the things that bring God glory. And when Jesus was about the kingdom of God and bringing God glory, it brought joy even in the face of the cross. And when we are about seeing what God has for us to do in his kingdom and for his glory, that brings us joy, right? And so I just encourage you to think about the example of Christ and that all of these things can bring joy. When Jesus focused on the things that would be coming to him due to the cross, it brought him joy. And we can give thanks in all circumstances, just like Christ, if no matter what we're going through, we renew our mind and what we have in Christ Jesus, grace, amen? And that grace should bring joy. And that grace and joy should cause us to be like the Macedonians that said that their joy rose up and they gave generously. They gave what they had. In that context, it was funds. But folks, it goes way beyond that. Amen? It means giving what we have. When they were at the beautiful gate, beautiful, and he says, silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Folks, it's the Holy Spirit that did that, not the apostles. It was the Holy Spirit. And he can do those same things through you. as the body of Christ. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, of your amazing grace that you've given to us that makes all this possible, knowing you, walking with you. And Father, as we've given thanks this weekend for family and friends and relationships with you, Lord, we give thanks this morning for your amazing grace. And Lord, as we get ready to go out with a song here this morning, we just ask that you would help us just to renew our minds, and no matter what we're going through, God, we have your grace, and your grace has made possible a new relationship with you, and Lord, and that brings joy, unspeakable joy in our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.